The Hermione, or in French, Hermione, is a surprising sight in the middle of a modern-day city. With its ornate blue and yellow hull and three large masts, it's what you might imagine a pirate ship would look like, except there are no pirates on board. Crew members wearing red shirts are working on the ship, and dozens of visitors walk around deck, marveling at the 18th-century vessel. The second deck is accessible down a steep flight of stairs. There are tables and benches. It's where the crew eats, though back in the day, this was the gun deck.
We're sitting right next to two 12-pound cannons, because this is on the principal gun deck of the vessel.
But of course, these cannons are non-functional, because otherwise this would be considered a warship.
Yeah, that's one of the things legally that I had to change about this, besides a few other modern and safety sort of innovations. Otherwise, the boat is an extremely scrupulous, authentic replica.
I'm talking with Adam Hodges-Leclerc, a crew member from Boston. At 22 years old, he's just a year younger than General Lafayette when he boarded the original Hermione in 1780, bound for America, his second trip to help George Washington and the Revolutionary Army fight the British. The original ship was destroyed in 1793. This one is a recreation, nearly 20 years in the making. Hodges-Leclerc is one of the 150 volunteer crew members, 54 of whom will be on its first voyage across the Atlantic. An 18th century ship like this needs a lot of people.
Our mechanical aids from the period are large pulleys. There are 250 points of turnage, points where ropes come down from parts on the sails that control specific parts of the sails themselves or the masts. This ship is a pre-industrial machine.
So basically the people are like the gears in this big machine.
Yeah.
Hodges-Leclerc is one of three American volunteers, and like many Americans, he's rather obsessed with the 18th century, when the United States was born.
I started reenacting and getting into living history when I was five. A local group, a militia, and a fife and drum corps.
Today, he's a history student and is interested in developing a career in living history museums. And he is living this history, dressed in what sailors would have worn at the time. He's wearing woolen stockings, breeches, a linen shirt, a striped blue and gray waistcoat, and leather shoes that were made based on a pair on display at the Smithsonian Museum that were found in an 18th century American ship. Hodges-Leclerc says replicas of objects like these shoes allow him to really understand how they work.
People will inevitably ask, does it either fall apart or it's horribly uncomfortable?
Well, yeah, because they're leather shoes with buckles.
Yeah.
Like, you'd think you'd want treads or something.
Yeah, and there is no tread. But when you have a fiber, made out of hemp, which is tarred, meeting a leather sole, you don't get much slip at all. For me, it's using the tools of a historian to present that history visually. So, I can tell you about the painting that my waistcoat is based on, for instance, but if you can touch it, that's so much more visceral. It's particular, and I'll be the first to admit it, but hopefully it's a very visceral and engaging way to teach history.
On the reconstructed ship, with crew members working on last-minute preparations, you get a taste of what it might have been like over 200 years ago. Though in 1780, there were over 300 people on board, including Lafayette. The 2015 voyage will have 80 people. The 54 volunteers, plus professional sailors like Jens Langert, the bosun. He's in charge of what happens on board. He has the thick fingers of someone used to working with ropes. He's been a sailor since he was a young man in Sweden.
It's been my passion since I was a teenager and quit school to go out and sail on square riggers.
He trains volunteer crews on these old ships and says people join today for similar reasons as sailors of the 18th century.
They are more educated today, but still they have the call for adventure and see new things. Today we install two big sails on the foremast, the fore topsail and the fore course, which are heavy sails.
Heavy indeed, 500 kilos of linen for one sail. All the sails were removed over the winter and now need to be reattached with ropes. Full of wind, they'll drive the ship forward at 14 knots, or about 26 kilometers an hour. Aurore Levillain climbs down from tightening a sail on one of the masts. A translator, she came back to France from living in Canada a year ago, not sure what to do. When she discovered the Hermione project, she was drawn to joining the crew, partly to face her own fears.
I'm afraid of heights, not necessarily comfortable with lots of people. So that was a way to face what I didn't want to keep about myself.
She took part in the sea trials off the coast of Bordeaux in the autumn of 2014. Being on the ship has taught her a lot.
According to the captain, it's the best school for life, the sea, because you learn how to be together, work together, because alone you can't do anything.
There's no use for one person to grab onto the sail and try to lift it. Nothing will happen. But if the whole chain of 30 people along the yard do it little by little, you do it.
We're going to go down a level.
Adam Hodges LeClaire leads us down to the third of the ship's four levels, to the crew's sleeping area, full of bunks and cloth hammocks. We have to bend over as the ceiling is barely a meter and a half high, but it's well lit, so it doesn't feel too claustrophobic. Throughout the deck are mobile phones plugged into charge and wall sockets, plastic containers full of supplies.
So you do have, like, plastic containers. Of course, there's a fire extinguisher. I mean, how authentic is everyone getting?
The ship itself is absolutely the same. You know, the same materials, the same dimensions, and that's the critical part.
The rest, the toilets, the showers, refrigerators, those are the concessions to the modern world. Concessions that Hodges LeClaire would be willing to do without.
I'd be willing to push that as far as it would go. But I would never want to force somebody to eat, you know, split peas, dried vegetables, and salted meat, and biscuits day after day after day.
The original Hermione took 11 months to build in 1778. Today's Hermione took nearly 20 years. The project was conceived of by a group of people who founded the Hermione Lafayette Association in the early 1990s. Construction started in 1997. So why did it take until 2015 to set sail? Well, first of all, in the 18th century, shipbuilders knew how to make this kind of ship.
On connaissait les techniques.
Marine de Villarté is the social media manager of the association.
Maintenant, c'est plus compliqué.
Today, things are more complicated, she says, referring to the need to find people with the skills to make the massive solid wood hull and to come up with a way to pay for the work. There was also a decision to make the work last a relatively long time
pour permettre au public de le suivre,
to allow visitors to follow the project.
Ce qui plaisait, c'était de voir les artisans au travail.
People like to see artisans at work, says Villarté, and they flocked to Rochefort, a few kilometers south of La Rochelle, where the ship was built. The ship cost 25 million euros. 60% of that came from visitors' entry fees and gift shop sales. The rest came from the region and cities that have seen a real boom in tourism.
On a accueilli plus de 4 millions de visiteurs.
More than 4 million visitors have come since the work started, says Villarté. Jens Langert, the Swedish sailor, is not just the bosun, the manager. He also built the rigging, the three wooden masts, and all the ropes that tie it all together and make it work. He learned how to do this when he worked on the replica of the Göteborg, a Swedish ship that sailed to China in 1745. The new one sailed to China in 2005. Langert has a tattoo of the Göteborg on his right shoulder. He lives and breathes these old ships. He joined the Hermione project in 2010 to recreate the original using the techniques and materials of the time. He says there was a lot to go on.
This was like top-notch state of the art at the time. This was like their rocket science, and it's very well documented.
For him, there's a different approach to building an old ship. Even with the documentation, artisans themselves didn't work the same way as engineers do today.
When you read in the old sources, it's like, how to explain this to somebody, a carpenter who is an analphabet? For example, the stays for the mast should be, their circumference should be a 12th of the circumference of the mast. Then you take a string around the mast, and you take the same string, wrap it 12 times around a rope, voila. It's all proportions and logic and what's learned by trial and error.
Trial and error, and also fixing things. When the ship goes out on sea, everything goes into motion. Ropes chafe, things tear. The focus has to be on how to fix things.
In modern thinking, it's like you have to make something that is indestructible and no maintenance. But that is not the case here. You have a big crew. You have always people available to do the job, to do the maintenance.
And it works.
When you do a maneuver with a sailing ship, when everything goes right, when everybody is doing their thing at the right moment, it turns into magic. It's like a theater play where people are doing the right thing at the right moment on the stage. That creates magic.
Is there a sense of nostalgia in all this?
Well, yeah, of course. You live the 18th century life to some extent, and that's great fun. Sometimes it's ridiculous with the costumes and everything, but on the other hand, there's something behind it. It's something real that you... I've been working so much with volunteers on different ships where young people come on board and they keep on sailing on other ships. They become carpenters or craftsmen of things, and it's often a big change in their life.
The Hermione sets sail to Yorktown, Virginia, and will make its way up to the east coast of the United States in June and July before heading back to tour French ports through the end of the year. Sarah Elsis, RFI, La Rochelle.